Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Sex, for many people, is an almost overpowering desire. Sex is a desire that drives one to take risks that otherwise wouldn't be conceived. The perceived need for sex has been the catalyst for exhaustive study and countless inventions. In this age of herpes and HIV/AIDS, there has been a push for safe sex. Just prior to this age, sexually transmitted diseases, STDs, were easily curable, and the prevailing thought for protection during sexual intercourse was protect against unwanted pregnancy. That is not the case now. Nowadays, there are STDs that are incurable and can lead to premature death. There is a great deal of mental focus and effort aimed at creating the devices and methods to protect against deadly STDs and unwanted pregnancy. However, these monumental efforts have missed the mark and are very short-sighted, as the safe sex industry has omitted protection from some of the more ancient causes of death resulting from not using the proper protection during sex. Listen and learn as methods of sexual protection are discussed, so you may be properly prepared when you have your next romantic encounter. Good afternoon, and the Most High in the name of Christ bless you. I am Josiah, and welcome to our virtual living room, where we examine recent events and other topics as they pertain to the Holy Scriptures. We give all praises to the Most High in Christ, and we give thanks for God's generous mercy, grace, and forgiveness. This week's title: Have All the Sex You Want, Just Use Protection. What is that about? Well, we're going to discuss a few things here. First of all, we're going to discuss what exactly are people trying to protect themselves from. We'll also talk about the various methods. We won't go into every single finite detail. We're just going to touch on the high points of some of the various methods that people employ to protect themselves. And lastly, we're going to discuss what is the very best protection that you can actually use. And joining me here in the virtual living room to discuss these things, I have with me, first off, our brother Yehonathan.
Just giving all praise to the Heavenly Father. Glad to be here for another show. May the edification and doctrine of Jesus Christ go forth.
And also joining us here in the virtual living room, we have coming back one more time our brother Ayan.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Always happy to be off the bench, back in the game. Thanks for having me.
And lastly, we have joining us our brother Kabar.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Good to once again be with you. And as always, giving all praise, honor, and glory to the Most High in the name of Christ for the opportunity to bring forth this doctrine as it is written in the Holy Bible.
Well, brothers, we got a house full because Abaja just walked in. Abaja, you want to say something to the people?
I just wanted to say shalom, both on Christ, bless everyone. It's good to be here, and hopefully we can get some edification through the scriptures regarding this matter.
Well, brothers, as the introduction stated, sex is an extremely exceptional, powerful desire. And it drives people. In some instances, sex has been one of those things that has actually made turns, twists and turns on nations. It was right at the crux of it. So considering how much of an impact and influence sex has on someone, it seems to be a really appropriate topic for us, to discuss here in the virtual living room. It to hopefully provide some edification to our audience as to the proper approach, especially when it concerns properly protecting yourself, because there are various things that people do to protect themselves from when they are involved in sex. So I'd like to go around and kind of discuss that. So, Yawanathan, you know, could you just give, and all of us know, but just for the sake of discussion, just name one or two things that people are attempting to protect themselves from when it comes to sex.
One or two things, sexual transmitted diseases.
Absolutely. So, you know, sexual transmitted diseases, they go into forms of, like, you know, nowadays, the probably the absolute worst one is HIV/AIDS, you know, which my understanding, there's no cure for it. There are only treatments, and those treatments can prolong your life. But if not properly treated, and sometimes even if properly treated, HIV/AIDS can lead to premature death, so that instead of you living your 70 years as given in the scriptures, you might only live another 5 years after contracting that disease. So that's probably like one of the main things people are trying to protect themselves from. So Kabar, could you give us something else that people are trying to protect themselves from?
Yeah, well, sadly, pregnancy from having children. That's one of the other things that, as far as contraception, we're talking about, right?
Exactly. I mean, that's something they're trying to protect themselves from. Could you elaborate a little bit more on why they're trying to protect themselves from pregnancy and having children?
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of times, basically, you know, we live in a day and time in a society and culture where sex has been taken out of its proper context. And because of that, people don't understand, you know, what sex is about and what sex is for, and the setting in which that is supposed to take place. And as a result, the natural processes that arise out of it, people are trying to eliminate or eradicate, one of which is having children. And that's a huge thing that people are trying to protect themselves from, and trying to eliminate as a cause or as an effect of sex. Nowadays, we have some, you know, what's called the day after pill or Plan B. And even, you know, even in recent, you know, political, recent politics going on with the Obamacare implementation, where sex contraceptives have been made mandatory in many health plans, and you got religious institutions fighting that mandatory aspect of, you know, providing health for
right.
employees, because people are being made to pay for abortions or being made to pay for Plan B pills in there in an institution that doesn't believe or uphold those standards. So, you know, that's one major aspect that's trying to be eliminated as a cause of having sex. And, of course, it's because we live in a perverse and wicked society that's taken sex totally out of context.
Okay. Ayan, you know, what Yawanathan and Kabari had mentioned STDs and pregnancy as two of the things that people are trying to protect themselves from when it comes to sex. So can you think of anything else that people maybe might desire to protect themselves from?
Other than those two, I have no idea. I don't have no clue. Because as far as my understanding goes, those two are the main things that people are trying to avoid, having kids and getting a nasty virus or disease or something like that.
Okay. Abadja, what about you? Can you imagine anything that someone might want to protect themselves from, but maybe there's not a device or a method that has been presented to protect themselves from it?
Well, there's honestly, I'm saying that I think those are pretty much the two primary things that people are trying to avoid, you know, having some type of bad thing happen to them, whether it be from a sexually transmitted disease or, you know, a so-called unwanted pregnancy. You know, those
right.
are pretty much the primary things that someone would try to avoid.
I can add one.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's the?
The one that I can add, and, you know, you seldomly think of it as one thing that people are trying to protect themselves from as a result of sex, but another aspect is a relationship or close emotional bonds with people, and which gives rise to what we call in society casual sex, wherein, mm-hmm. or one-night stands, wherein both parties agree to have a sexual encounter and basically agree not to even contact or really deal with each other after that, which is another aspect of, you know, taking sex out of context.
And, you know, something you're definitely going into the territory I want to explore, because people don't commonly think about protecting themselves from these things or think about there's a method or something that should be protect them. But when you start talking about that jealous significant other, or you start talking about mm-hmm. that fatal attraction, you know, the jealous significant other probably kills more people than AIDS does, HIV AIDS. And that fatal attraction, also the same thing, you know, because they're, you know, I've heard of situations where guys would just fall head over heels in love with a woman and chase her down, know everywhere she's going and so forth. And if she does not cooperate with them, they will actually end up killing them, citing things like, well, I loved her too much. Okay. But that's a result of that sex appeal. You know, so how do you protect yourself from those kind of things? You know, the jealous one. You know, here's someone that you're involved with sexually, and they have a boyfriend, or they have a husband, or vice versa, they have a girlfriend. You know, if it's a woman dealing, they have a girlfriend that's jealous, or a wife that's jealous. You know, that's very deadly. So we're going to discuss that, and we're not trying to promote any type of adulterous relationships or anything like that. But there's a way that you can go about protecting yourself, and those are things we're going to discuss. So now, John, you brought up the thing about the sexual transmitted diseases. What is the primary method that people employ to protect themselves from sexual transmitted diseases?
Well, 2014, they have male and female condoms. So I would say that's pretty much the primary barrier for defense against those diseases.
Okay. So, and how effective are those? Do you have any idea?
From the statistically, we can look it up. I don't know right now, but I can give me a few minutes and I can tell you.
Okay.
Don't ever come back to it.
Yeah, you don't have to look it up. Some of these other brothers may have an idea of what that is. If not, you know, I happen to have somewhat recalled in the past that they were like 97% or 99% effective. They're not 100% effective, condoms or not. So, can you think of any other methods, anybody that people employ to protect themselves against STDs?
Yeah, there's a type of condom. It's the name of it. I can't remember. I think it's called dental dam. It's like when people have it's for oral sex, I believe, and it's kind of like a kind of film. People use that too. And as far as to avoid having children and things like that. They have a lot of different methods that people use in order to, you know, not have the kids and things. So, like birth control pills. I think some of the brother mentioned that on and off the pill earlier. There's all kind of stuff that people use in order not to have kids. But as far as the prophylactics, that's another type that people use a lot.
Okay. Now, Kabart, these condoms, they also use to protect against pregnancy too, aren't they?
Kabart? Yeah, they are. You talking to me?
Yes.
Yeah, the that's one of its I don't know if it's primary or secondary, but it's a dual protection, not only from diseases, not all diseases. Because you got things like herpes that you cannot protect from with a condom. And oh, like you mentioned, no, I don't think you can protect herpes from a condom.
Oh, okay.
Am I mistaken, brother?
It actually depends on if the person has an open sore, open, like, blister, if it's some other place in their, like, genital area, yeah, it won't, like, you can still get it because with typically the condom just covers the man's penis. But if there's, like, sores anywhere else, like above the penis or on a woman's legs or thighs, anything like that, and it touches a person's skin or they have an open cutting anywhere like that, you can get that easily.
What about saliva? Is it transferred through bodily fluids?
What's that?
Herpes. Can it be transferred through bodily fluids?
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure. Any time there's like an open sore or a person has breakouts or whatever, if they have it and it's open, it can be transmitted through anything.
So, yeah, so the herpes is one. And, of course, even preventing pregnancy, of course, that's not even 100%. So, it's a half measure at best.
Uh-huh. Okay. So, what else do people use to protect themselves from pregnancy?
I can mention one that a small percent of the population uses.
Okay.
Abstinence. That's really the best one.
Jumping the gun.
I'm laughing because Ayan laughed. Ayan, tell us why you're laughing.
Because nobody, abstinence, who wants to do that? Nobody does. You got very few, just what he just said. You got very few people that's something they want to do. So they want to hear safe sex. When people hear safe sex, they think condom, they think birth control, they think everything else except for not having sex. Because it's safe sex, right? So sex got to be in there some kind of way. But when you say don't have sex, people are like, what? Man, they're like ready to throw bottles at you, throwing you fire or something when you say that. But that is the true surefire way for all these problems that we're talking about.
Okay, so that's a true surefire way. Mm-hmm. John, you had something to say?
Yeah, that whole statement of safe sex, let's just look at it. Now, I don't want to jump the gun, but if you got safe sex, you got unsafe sex. And if the Most High is the creator of everything, and he created sex for a purpose, something has got to be in our mental fabric to understand that, look, something that we're doing is not right. How can something the Heavenly Father made for man to do, and yet we being punished for it? Because we got to look at our actions, and that's what it's all boiling down to, because it ain't safe sex if you're doing it and you're getting these things. It's something the Lord is trying to show us.
But if that's the case, then why would the Lord give you the ability to have sex at all if it's going to be so harmful for you? Then the Lord give you a mind so that you could actually do things to help yourself along the way from all the various evils that are in the world? Based on what you're saying, it's like, okay, it's cold outside, you need clothing. It's okay to, have clothing to protect yourself from the cold. So, doesn't it make sense that it's okay to have a condom to protect yourself from various sexually transmitted diseases? Wouldn't that go to reason?
Well, to go to reason, yes, he gave us a mind, yes. But you got to keep in mind also that the Heavenly Father gave us wisdom for our minds to have and perform.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big barrier. That's the big dilemma of this world. This world is so corrupt now, it's forsaken the wisdom of the Lord. But the Heavenly Father is the type of, he is the God, the power that's not going to allow this madness, because we left off his wisdom, to continue on without effects. And then you get these effects called diseases and everything else. STD, jealous husband, jealous wife, any, you know, a father coming home seeing a man with his daughter or a daughter with his son. You know, like, this is my son, a man that's trying to hold his son in honor. You know, who knows the type of rage, you know, but I just want to read this one verse, Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 5. It says,
okay.
Behold, in Deuteronomy 4 and 5, it says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do them in the land whether ye go to possess it. So I'm going to stop there that, yeah, the Lord gave us a mind, but here the Lord's telling us he gave us statutes and judgments that we should do them. In verse 6, keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations. So the thing is, this is our wisdom and our understanding, but again, the word of the Lord is rejected, refused. You look that crazy if you speak the word of the Heavenly Father, but there's wisdom in this, there's understanding in this. You know, so how can something the Lord as flexible as sex and used in his context and how he prescribed it, how can that be such an ill thing? You know, but the thing is, our minds are so retarded and warped in sin that we're going off, we're putting everything but backwards to clear it up. I would like to use another word, but that's how we deal in this world. So,
okay, Kabar, I'm sorry, does somebody have something to say? So, Kabar, John has brought up a real good point, you know, about the wisdom in the scriptures and so forth. How in the world, though, can scriptures help you protect you from sexually transmitted diseases? I mean, if someone has a disease and you have sex with them, you know, you stand the same chance as anyone who hadn't read the scriptures, right, of getting that disease, don't you?
Well, see, this is the thing. We're talking about prevention, right? Because even if you want to look at contraception, all that's talking about is prevention also. So what
right.
we're really dealing with it, what is the best method of prevention, okay? So that's why we want to look at the scriptures. First and foremost, sex itself is nothing wrong with it. It's great. But why was it made and what's the purpose? Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 and 28 said, so God created man in his own image, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, meaning the male and the female, okay, because you can't have two male and two females cannot create offspring. So it says,
mm-hmm.
And God blessed them, meaning the male and the female, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So God gave sex when he said, what? Be fruitful and multiply. Not only did he make the opposite sex, male and female, but endowed them with the ability to procreate. So God created sex. Okay, so that's one thing. Now, he made sex.
So you're saying,
just
to be perfectly clear, you're saying that sex, God made sex available or created us so that we could have sex.
Yeah.
For the purposes
of God created,
men
and women. Yes. God created man and woman and endowed them with the ability to have sex for the purposes of procreation.
Okay.
See, here's the thing. The procreation was the purpose. The pleasure you get out of it is the side benefit. But society has completely reversed it and illuminated the side benefit and not the purpose.
Okay,
one thing, though.
Uh-huh.
One thing, I'm going to go with that creation and pleasure. I'm going to go a step further and say that if the Heavenly Father made that for procreation and pleasure, because it's
okay.
Not just for children, just to have children. Because many a times a husband and wife might have, you know, they get in their act. Not every time the husband, the Heavenly Father blesses that union with the child every time they lay down. But the thing is that pleasure is there every time that they perform that act. So in the righteousness eyesight of the Heavenly Father, that was created for pleasure and also procreation, both. And whenever the Heavenly Father deems it that, look, a man and woman, they're going to have a child, he allowed them to have a child. You know, in other words, it's both. Not just one, but both. And okay. Whenever the Heavenly Father wants it to happen, he'll let it happen.
Also, when you look at Psalms chapter 127 and verse 3, it tells us, it says, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. So here it is, you know, going back to the question of, yeah, the Most High made sex, and it is pleasurable. But the part, as far as the focus of that interaction is not the pleasure as far as what the Most High is getting. The Most High, the children is what he's getting out of. And the whole reason the Most High is getting the children is because when you go back into Deuteronomy, it tells what to teach our children diligently, when you walk by the way, when you rise up, when you go to sleep, so that they'll learn to fear the Lord. That's how they become his heritage. That's how they become his reward. Yeah, man in his physical body is going to have pleasure in it, hopefully. I mean, you got some people who don't. I mean, you got some people who's, you know, who's, I guess what you would classify as abnormal, who don't. You know what I mean?
Who don't receive pleasure in sex, you mean?
Exactly, who don't.
Okay.
Pleasure in it. But, there is pleasure there. But the purpose, and that's what I was focusing on, the purpose is out of that union is the children that come out of it. Because it's the children who are supposed to be raised to be worshipers, followers of God. You see, in a society, the pleasure is the main focus and the purpose, and not the children. So that's what I'm saying as far as the society got turned around. The purpose, the focus that the Most High put on it as far as being fruitful and multiplying and replenishing, okay, the children being his heritage and his reward, that was taken out of the picture and only pleasure was left. And that's the perversion that we see in society today.
Okay, so you're talking about one aspect of sex, and that is the fact that people can get pregnant. Okay, but we're talking about protection. You know, so, you know, the title of the show, have all the sex you want, just use protection. So what's the protection in this situation?
Well, the thing is, that's a problem. The whole problem is that you're not supposed to be having all the sex you want and just using protection. That's the fallacy of the whole thing. That's what's wrong with the whole equation, because people have that state of mind and way of thinking. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing is that people have to be brought to, well, what's the correct way to think about this? What's the right way to focus on this? Because the thing is, when you look at, we can go to Deuteronomy, because where does disease come from? I mean, does that just come out of nowhere and, oh, man, I got a disease because I had sex? No. When you go to Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 58, it says, if thou wilt not observe to do all the words of the law that are written in this book. So now I got to talk about his commandments, right? Commandments. Instructions that you're supposed to follow. That's written in this book, meaning the Bible. All right. And now if you don't do it, right, what's going to happen as a result? That thou may fear this righteous and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed, meaning your offspring, even great plagues and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses and of long continuance. Moreover, I will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, like AIDS, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. So you saw what diseases came out of? Diseases came out of sin. One of the sins we talk about is classified as fornication, which okay. is what? What's fornication? Let's go to the primary one that we took on here today. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all and a bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So God created marriage when he was talking about in Genesis chapter 1 about being fruitful and multiplying, because remember, he created man and a woman. He brought Adam to Eve to Adam. That was the union he made, and out of that marriage that he made between that man and a woman, they were supposed to have children. Okay? So today, how is that supposed to happen? A man and a woman come together in Christ under the commandments of God, and only then and only then is sex permissible. Any sex outside of that situation and scenario is fornication. What is fornication? An unlawful sexual act. How do you identify that? According to the laws that God laid down, primarily we read in the book of Leviticus 18, when it is scattered about the Bible. When you take sex out of that context, then you're dealing with sin. Once you're dealing with sin, now you put yourself, you expose yourself to all the diseases that come as a result of sin that we just read in Deuteronomy.
Okay.
So the protection from the, so what happens now? The protection from the diseases is getting away from the sins that bring about the diseases. So in order to do that in this context that we're talking about, you got to get away from fornication, start to understand what marriage is. And that's where your protection comes from the diseases.
Your protection comes from exactly where now again?
Your protection comes from bringing ourselves back in line with the commandments, especially when it deals with sexual immorality. The immorality that we're talking about here is fornication. Men sleeping with women all over the place, it doesn't even matter. I guess in this show, too, you can probably contain lesbian and homosexual acts also. You didn't specify okay. with the, you know, the sexual parties. But the fact of the matter is, that's where all the diseases are being produced from, that men are trying to falsely or hopelessly protect themselves from, and they can't. Because God said, when you go into these sins, these diseases are going to result. So how are you going to eliminate diseases without eliminating the sins that cause it? So in order to eliminate the diseases, you have to get away from the sins that bring them about. And how do you do that? Get out of sexual immorality and fornication, get back to marriage and what that is.
Okay. Abacha, let's drive a little bit into that point that Kabar is bringing up about the sexual immorality. On the when the show began, there was a musical clip played as "Let's Get It On" by Marvin Gaye, and there was one part in that song that Marvin Gaye sang where he says, "There's nothing wrong with me loving you if the love is true." So now, expound on that, because you know that was in the 1970s, and that has been a prevailing notion from the 1970s to present day. So could you expound a little bit on that statement and the impact that it has on someone? And is that statement actually true? Does it hold water?
A lot of things hold water for people that believe what they want to believe. Because when you look at the context in which it, you know, more or less which he's speaking, you know, everybody knows the Marvin Gaye song. So we're assuming that he's talking to his woman because, you know, he didn't mention anything otherwise. Right. But when you look at how people in general use that song, it's like, hey, you know, you find somebody that you want to get with, regardless of whether or not you're married to that person. Hey, it's like, hey, let's get it on, you know. And, you know, Kabar touched on it earlier as far as the proper context that the sexual relationship is supposed to happen in, and that's in a marriage. So he read the scripture in Hebrews about marriage is honorable and all in the bed undefiled, because that's the way that the Lord intended it. But when we step outside of that, that thing, that whole thing of there's nothing wrong with me loving you if the loving is true, that doesn't apply. And I want to read a scripture in the book of Jeremiah. And I'm also going to backtrack on some things that we were touching on earlier. Let me touch on that first before I read the scripture, because they both talk in. They both tie in when you're asking about, you know, herpes and everything like that. Because, you know, that's information that people can pretty much go and look up and Google it, or, go to a medical research, you know, do some research, whatever, and find that out. But just for the record, herpes can be transmitted orally through saliva or through any type of, you know, bodily fluids. And in most cases, you won't have any noticeable symptoms right off. And sometimes you can have it and not even carry it. Because I think a recent statistic from the CDC actually states that approximately 45% of the general population is infected with herpes. And most people don't know it.
45%?
Yeah. Yeah, that the number is very high, almost like one in two people. It's crazy. But the thing is that, you know, a lot of times that virus can be so benign and you never have an outbreak, but you're steadily, every person that you have so-called unprotected sex with, because you don't even have to have unprotected sex with that person. It could be just a matter of kissing them in the mouth and they have an outbreak and they not know it. You know, it's just crazy. But, again, like I said, I didn't want this to turn into a show about biology and STDs and everything, because the focus is on protection. So I just had to go back and put that out there. But going back to the question you asked me, I want to read Jeremiah chapter 4, verse 22, because all of this ties in. It says, "For my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children, and they have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge." So when you look at how that relates, we have none understanding of the righteousness of the Heavenly Father. When you look at the things that are promoted in this world, that statement, "There's nothing wrong with me loving you if the loving is true," that applies to anything, okay? It doesn't matter that, hey, as long as I like you and you like me and we have feelings for each other, it's all game. So the scripture says that, what, we have none understanding. It says we are wise to do evil, because now it's like, okay, you know what? I don't want to get into a committed relationship with this person. I don't want to, you know, have any type of long-term relationship with this. Even if it's like, okay, you know what? We're just kind of having sex for now, you know, friends with benefits type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to do anything that's going to cause me to have to be bound to this person for the rest of my life. So how can I avoid that? This is where you have the so-called education of, you know, contraceptives, as far as birth control pills, as far as condoms and things of that nature come into play. So, hey, I can casually indulge in anything with anyone and be protected so that I don't have, you know, I won't suffer so-called any of the consequences that comes along with performing these acts. And the scripture says, what? But to do good, they have no knowledge. Because for the world, it's unrealistic to practice abstinence. It's unrealistic even nowadays as far as, you know, a so-called long-term relationship is concerned. It's like, listen, you know what? You know, half of the marriages today are ending in divorce. I don't want to get married. I'd rather just have me a partner or a couple of people that I, you know, handle my business with, and I just go on about, you know, just live my life the way that I want to. And that's not according to the scriptures. So we have to look at those things through the mindset of what the Most High said.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for the, clearing that up, bro. Ayan, you know, we talked about how much of desire sex is, how intense it is, and how significant it is in everyone's life, practically. What would you say to a man who is married, who has strayed away from his marriage, but he cites to you, said, "Listen, I was faithful to my wife until she started to refuse to have sex with me. And after it went on for, you know, a bit over 6 months, you know, other women started to look very appealing. And eventually I found myself having sex outside my marriage." So, you know, how would you counsel that man? Because here's the situation where he stepped outside of that realm of protection that's offered through the scriptures. This is a fairly compelling reason, wouldn't you think so?
No. You never have a reason to commit sin.
Okay.
Tells us that he's given no man license to sin or to break his commandments. And adultery is one of the worst things that you could possibly do. Because the marriage between the man and the woman is supposed to be symbolic of the relationship that Christ has with the church. So when you go out and when you step out on your marriage, whether it's a man or a woman, or you are in fact spitting in the face of Christ and spitting in the face of the Most High, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you are turning your back on them, okay? So no man has any license, or it's never okay for you to do that and to break those righteous laws that God made for us. Now, the particular situation that you're talking about, when you have a partner, a woman, in this case you're talking about a woman, a wife, is withholding sex from the husband, that's evil as hell. There's a scripture, mm-hmm. I know it's 1 Corinthians, I believe, I think it's chapter 7 or chapter 11, I have to get it, that it goes into how you're not supposed to, as a man, as a husband, you're not supposed to withhold sex from your wife, and as a wife, you're not supposed to withhold sex from your husband, because the situation that you're talking about, that's what you are instigating, right? You're kind of leaving that door open for those wicked thoughts that come into people's minds to come into their hearts when you are withholding sex from your spouse. So mm-hmm. that's evil. Let me quickly get the scripture to prove what I'm saying. And brothers, help me out. It's 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians 7 started verse 1. And to really, because I mean, you can go straight to the point, but in verse 3, but starting at verse 1 and reading down really gives you more understanding about that.
All right, let me read it. Thanks, bro. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 7, and I'll start at verse 1. It says, "Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." Verse 3, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife have not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one another, except it be with consent for a time." So the point to go to with the scenario that you asked me about the woman withholding sex from the husband, verse 5 tells you that that's something that should not be done in marriages that are bound by the laws of God. You shouldn't do that.
Okay.
You know, I just think back to, like, growing up, seeing on these, like, sitcoms and TV shows, things like that, where the husband and wife had a problem, right? And they had a little beef or a spat or whatever. And mm-hmm. the wife knew the husband to go sleep on a couch, you know what I mean?
Right.
To get out.
Right.
You're not staying in the room with me.
Right.
And we have people that have grown up with those type of images in their mind and thinking that's okay. When in reality, you're just leaving this huge gulf. Well, you're creating a gulf between the husband and the wife, and then you're leaving a huge door open for Satan to come into your marriage and to destroy it. So we're not supposed to do things like that. So that's how you deal with it. You don't do it in the beginning. And just to go back to reiterate, and if a person does step out on their marriage and commit adultery, that's going to be on their head as well, because that's a sin that they committed. It's like someone holding a gun to your head, you know what I mean? No one's doing that. No one's making you go sleep with another person outside of your marriage. You're doing that because that's your lust, and that's what you want to do. But like I said, you know, that shouldn't happen in marriages that are bound by the laws of God. It just shouldn't happen.
Okay. Jonathan, let's take a little slightly different direction on this whole thing about, you know, married people and, you know, sex between two married people. Say there's a man who doesn't have a particularly high libido, but his wife does, okay? Title the show, have all the sex you want, just use protection, okay? So now they're having sex in the confines of a marriage, but this woman's libido is, like, really, really high. So does that mean that every single time that she wants sex, that he has to give in and give her sex? Because Ayan just read the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that instructs this man not to defraud this woman, but, you know, that he don't have power over his own body, but she does.
Okay, so with the right mindset of the wife and the husband, that is to commit themselves to following the doctrine of Christ. And in that particular case, if that is the case, like the scripture says, the wife doesn't have power over her body. Let me get it. 1 Corinthians 7th chapter. The instructions is there. So in any case scenario, let's see. What verse was that he read?
I'll read it. I'll pick it up at verse 3. It says, let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud you not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency.
Okay, so with that being read, 1 Corinthians 7, chapter 1 through 5, it gives you straight out the instructions. So regardless, if that woman, her drive is higher than the male, the scripture says in verse 5, defraud not one the other, except it be for consent for a time. So the thing is, I can't speak no more than that. If the woman says she wants more, the husband, you have to give her more. That's what the instructions here is saying. If you both want to be in the doctrine of Christ and follow the true Christ of the Bible.
Hey, bro, I'm going to be honest. Like, when you first asked that question, I was thinking, that dude better get some horny goat weed or something. Maybe take some vitamins or help him out. Like, that's the first thing I thought about when you asked that question.
Right, but, you know, I mean, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, go ahead with what you were getting ready to say.
No, you're fine.
Yeah, I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, because it speaks about, you know, our walk in this faith and how we're supposed to, you know, grow in the fruits of the Spirit. It says, and besides all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. And the thing that I want to focus on, because, see, these things are basically progressions, okay, because just coming into the ministry, you have to have faith first and foremost, okay, and that faith in the Most High is going to allow you to grow in your virtue, meaning the righteousness or the commandments, because now we're going to start to do those things. And that's what's going to make us godly. And applying the commandments through the Spirit of Christ and having that godliness that the scriptures speak of, then you start to develop that kindness that we're supposed to have that's devoid in this world. Okay, whether it be towards our brother, towards our sisters, wife, children, what have you. So, and the thing is, he says that what? And the brotherly kindness, charity. Now, when the scriptures speak of charity, it's not talking about, you know, what we see in the world where you got the Salvation Army sitting there ringing the bell during Christmas time, you know, taking donations for, you know, for the poor.
Right.
It's going to tell you what that charity is going into. He says, for these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the charity basically goes into, when you read the scriptures, goes into basically having the ability to put other people before yourself, especially when it comes to those dealing in the faith. So looking at a situation like that, you know, that charity is going to allow that husband and that wife to work through that situation to where they're going to reach a mutually beneficial, you know, I hate to say conclusion, but, you know, it's going to be a mutually beneficial situation for both of them. You know, so having said that, that would be one of those things where, you know, the man may want to investigate, you know, some herbs or some things that's going to help with his libido, if you will, so that he and his wife can actually be on one accord and it doesn't turn into a situation where now you have regret, you have, you know, grudging, you have hatred developing in that relationship. You know, so those things can be dealt with according to the scriptures. But and this is going back to the whole thing when we were dealing with, you know, the previous question about people withholding sex from one another. The whole thing is that when we come into this, the knowledge of Christ, it's very, very important for us to be dealing with someone that understands, you know, the doctrine for themselves so that they themselves can grow and have their own fruits of the Spirit. And that means when you come together, those things, it provides a framework and a structure for you to deal with those things and the issues that come up. So that was all I wanted to say.
Okay. You know, Kabar, with everything these brothers are bringing out about the relationship between a husband and a wife and what love really means, it seems that Marvin Gaye wasn't too far off. It's just his intention behind it was off when he said, "There's nothing wrong with me loving you if the love is true."
Well, you know, I can't purport to know what was in Marvin Gaye's mind. I can see the results of it.
there was an interview, and he let everybody know that he was constantly thinking about sex, and it wasn't sex with his wife per se. It was sex with whomever was the next batter up.
Okay, so he's out of his mind.
That's where he was.
Yeah.
But I'm saying my statement is that, you know, based upon just that part of the lyrics alone, you know, that could actually, in and of itself, it could actually hold weight.
Well, the thing is, once you're talking about, as long as you're dealing with Hebrews 13 and 4 with marriage, however that husband and wife choose to interact with each other sexually, that's their business. A man, the scripture tells us in Proverbs, I believe, a man in the way with his mate, I know not. That's their business, okay? So as long as it's in that context, fine. Once you start taking out it, once you take it in the context he really meant it in, as far as fornication, which is an immoral sexual act, then it's totally off. Now what happens in the situation that he's talking about? You open yourself up to every manner of, whether it's diseases, unwanted pregnancies, all of these things start to arise. People are trying to protect themselves from this, but the thing is, how come it doesn't work? How come you have record high abortion rates among the African-American community, our community? How come that's happening? Obviously, people aren't able to protect themselves from it. Why? Because the very act that they're engaging in is going to lead down that path. So if you want to protect yourself from it, you can't go down that path. That's a simple fact of the matter.
Right. Well, brothers, it's gotten to that time where it's time for us to wind down the program. So what I'd like to do is go around and just get your parting words or summation or something from you, something that you might want to say to the audience. And Jonathan, I'll start with you.
Okay. My parting words is this, that we all serve the Heavenly Father. Let the Heavenly Father give us understanding and righteousness. I just want to read one scripture, First Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." The key thing here is the Heavenly Father is over those that are, what he says, the righteous okay, and he's listening to their prayers, and then he's against them that do evil. So the thing is, we got to learn right, and we have to learn wrong, and the only way you're going to learn that is by getting repentant and learning of Jesus Christ, okay? And you will learn the righteousness of marriage and what the righteousness of the Heavenly Father gives in that marriage and the wickedness of this world on what the things that they do. So the key thing is that the Father's above all, and he's going to judge all, and he will judge all. So the thing is to repent and follow his son Christ. That's all I have.
Okay. All right, thank you for that, bro. All right, Kabar, your parting words?
Parting words would be Romans chapter 12, verse 1, because, you know, of course, we always have to deal with repentance. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It says what, verse 2? And be not conformed to this world. Don't go into trying to have as much sex as possible and trying to protect yourself through contraception. But the scripture says what? But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you do that? Deal with marriage. Deal with repentance. Deal with coming together, man and woman, under the commandments of Jesus Christ and the laws that God set down. That's how you're going to protect yourself. It goes on to say what? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When you're dealing with marriage, when you're dealing with repentance, when you're dealing and living according to the scriptures, that's how you're going to prove what is that good, acceptable, perfect will of God.
All right. Thank you for that, brother. And Ayan, your parting words, please.
Somebody read this scripture earlier. I'm just going to read it again. It's Hebrews 13, verse 4, and it says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And what I just kind of want to focus on is the first part of the scripture where it says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. So sex is a good thing. Sex is a great thing. But it's great and it's good when it's in the proper context. And that proper context is a marriage between a man and a woman that's serving the Most High and keeping his commandments. Anytime you step foot out of that and you go into that, the last part of scripture where it talks about whoremongers and adulterers, those people are going to be judged by the Most High. So I would encourage people to focus on marriage and understand what it means and what it is and how to live that type of lifestyle, because that's the only way that we're going to be truly safe from all the stuff that we're talking about in the first part of the show.
Okay, thank you for that, brother. Last but not least, Abaja, your parting words.
Just something very short in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 8 and verse 5. It says, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. Because the thing that people are trying to be wise in is protecting themselves from, you know, these STDs and things of that nature, unwanted pregnancies and things of that nature, because those things are deemed as evil. But the protection, you know, as stated all throughout the show, is that our only protection is to lean upon the understanding of the Most High, because that's what makes us wise. Because that's what it means. It says a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment, which means that a wise man will look and see that, listen, the scriptures already tells us that there's destruction in fornication and adultery. And the only way that we can really protect ourselves from that is to repent through the command of the Heavenly Father. So that means that if I, as a man, am dealing with as many of the commandments in Christ, and a woman also is doing that, then we have to worry about child support. We don't have to worry about STDs. We don't have to worry about all of the things that come with the pitfalls of fornication. So that was pretty much it.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for visiting with us in the virtual living room of the Body of Christ Church. You can visit our website at thebocc.com, or you can email us at bodyofchrist@ureach.com, or call us at 877-871-1712. Until our next visit, the Most High, in the name of Christ, bless you. Shalom.